After 26 years in public office and now a few months as a private citizen, Tom Daschle has a new job. The former Democratic leader of the Senate has joined a prominent law firm here in Washington, D.C. He'll be a special policy advisor in the legislative and public policy group of Alston and Byrd, located on K Street, the Capitol's downtown center for lobbyists, lawyers, and business leaders. Before he lost last November, defeated by Republican challenger John Thune, Senator Daschle led the Democrats in the Senate under Presidents Clinton and Bush through the upheaval of September the 11th and the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, among many other events. Today, Senator Daschle joins us here in Studio 3A, and if you have questions for him about his career on Capitol Hill or the future of the Democratic Party, give us a call. Our number, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. The email address is TOTN at NPR.org. Senator Daschle, good of you to join us here.
Thank you, Neil. Good to be back.
I have to ask you, have you had to upgrade your suits?
Well, no, these are the same suits I've been wearing for some time. Someone probably suggests that I should upgrade them, but I'm wearing the same one. They still feel pretty comfortable.
Good. I wonder, as news happens of this weekend's passage by the Senate and the House of Representatives of the bill in the Terri Schiavo case, do you feel the urge to leap for a microphone, or is it one of those things where you say, you know, thank heavens I don't have to come up with something to say about this?
You know, Neil, it's a little bit of both, I think. Sometimes you want to jump up and down and call somebody and rally the troops, and other times you say, boy, am I glad I'm not there right now to have to face that as well. So you get the mix of emotions, I think, the mix of feelings about being there and about glad you're not sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Similarly, you've enjoyed a long career as a public servant in your state of South Dakota. Nevertheless, it is hard to take an election defeat as anything other than rejection.
That's right. That's right. No, it's not easy. There's no way to sugarcoat a loss. It's difficult, and it's not something that any politician ever wants to face. But you have to face it, and you have to look forward, consider it a new opportunity, and that's what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I've had the good fortune of serving my state for 26 years and loved most of the times that I served. But at the same time, I see plenty of great opportunities, and my expectations are very high for additional things I can do. So I'm in the search for a lot of new fulfilling ideas and roles, and I'm finding them.
Are you one of those people who, after Election Day, did you spend a lot of time thinking, oh, if I'd only spent more time in this corner of the state or shaking those hands over there? It was pretty close.
That's a good question, and the answer is that my family and I made certainly made a commitment to each other that we weren't going to go back and try to revisit it and change the results. That was impossible. So the best thing to do in situations like this is to look forward, and that's what we're doing. We're looking forward and trying to find a lot of the opportunities that we know are out there, and it's been an exciting experience for me, and I've enjoyed it a great deal.
We're talking with Senator Tom Daschle, former Senator Tom Daschle, who's now working here in Washington, D.C. If you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255. And let's talk with Jay, who's in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Yes, Senator, thanks for taking my call. I enjoy the show. One thing that I know in your election, and this is a comment that is made a lot by people that have, I guess Senator Clinton's another one who, she moved to New York to run for the Senate. You did not return back to the Dakotas after the defeat. And I know a comment was made a lot in your reelection campaign where people were saying that you weren't representing the state anymore. Do you see a lot of people now that are leaving elective office, staying in Washington, not returning to the states that they were actually, or districts that they were actually elected to represent?
Well, I don't think that it's necessarily accurate to say that we aren't returning to this state. I still have a home in South Dakota, and I'll be going back and forth. I'll be back, in fact, the first week in April for the entire week as I get around the state again, and then the second week or the last week in April. So, but I understand your question. I think that there's like you'd expect in any other field, you have some people that will go back full time, some people that come back part time. I know that Senator David Pryor, for example, has had a little bit of both. He worked at the Kennedy Center as the director of the Kennedy Center for a while. Now he's at the Clinton Library in Arkansas. And so I think every senator or member of the House may have their own agendas, and those agendas dictate in part where they live. But my full expectation is to spend a lot of time in South Dakota, to be home a lot, to work with the people that I care for a great deal.
I know that one of the reasons you said about joining Alston & Byrd, the law firm here in Washington, is they give you a fair amount of time to do other projects, including, I know you're interested in an American Indian project.
Well, that's exactly right, Neil. One of the reasons I'm coming home is to travel to 6 of the 9 Indian reservations in South Dakota to talk to Indian leadership about what role I might play and what opportunities there may be for continued engagement and work on the reservations. There is so many needs out there, economic, educational, health care, infrastructure, and so I want to stay involved. I'm very committed to that and see that as one of the roles that I can continue to play.
Jay, thanks very much for the phone call.
Thank you so much.
And I did want to ask, I mean, a lot of people would say, well, you're a Democrat, the Republicans are the opposition, but you've now gone over to the dark side of the force. You're a lobbyist now.
Well, I've got a very clear understanding with Alston and Byrd that I won't be lobbying. In fact, one is prohibited from lobbying for the first year, but that isn't my intention. I've indicated all along that I don't see any particular role for me as a lobbyist, and so I love working on issues. I want to stay involved in issues that mean a great deal to me: health issues, economic issues, energy issues, education, Native Americans, as I said a moment ago. I want to stay involved. I don't think that requires lobbying, but being involved in providing good strategic advice and ways with which to address public policy at all levels, not just congressional, but administrative, regulatory, state, international, those issues are of great import to me even now, and I want to stay involved.
This is your second day on the job, as I understand.
That's correct.
So what have you been doing other than coming to see us?
Well, as you might expect, it's a real transition. So I'm learning how to use a new computer and finding the way around the firm. And yesterday I was introduced to most of the people in the firm, going from floor to floor. And so getting acquainted, getting a little more comfortable with my new position. But it's been an exciting week.
Mm-hmm. Let's get another caller on the line. And Harvey joins us from Oakland, California.
Yes. Hello. I understand that Terry Schiavo bill.
Mm-hmm.
I understand it was passed in the middle of the night and there was only 3 senators present and they used some sort of unanimous consent rule to pass that. Is that correct?
It was passed on a voice vote, yes.
Was it only 3 senators present? Because it seems to me that's in violation of what the Constitution says, that a majority of each House shall constitute a quorum to do business.
Senator Daschle, you would know those rules a lot better than I would.
Yeah.
Well, a quorum is not required unless somebody calls for a quorum. You can do a lot of business without a quorum. At the end of every day, the Senate goes into oftentimes executive session where they pass nominations without a quorum. But obviously it's the right of any one senator to call a quorum and demand that a quorum be present for a vote. In this case, apparently nobody called for a quorum, and so there wasn't one. But it isn't required necessarily for the vote to be taken if it's a voice vote.
And what did you think? Now I'm sticking that microphone up in front of your face. Now, what did you think about this this bill that was passed? The Democrats in the Senate did not object. It was passed by voice vote. There were 3 hours of debate in the House of Representatives, and then it passed handily. What did you think of this bill?
Well, I think there were two different levels here that one would have to consider the way it was handled. First, the rush to get it passed and the very, I would say, obviously political nature of the debate and of the positioning. I am troubled by that. Obviously, this is a very difficult issue, and it involves life and death, and I think it's a very personal matter. I personally think that it ought to be left to the families. Families themselves ought to make the decision. I don't think Congress necessarily should intervene. I do think that taking it out of the jurisdiction of the state courts is probably not the right thing to do. I think those decisions can be best left to the state courts.
Several Democrats made several of those points. Some Republicans did, too, in the debate in the House of Representatives. Democrats in the Senate just stood by and let this pass, not even the opportunity for a debate. Did you think that was a wise decision?
Well, I don't know what the circumstances were, Neil. I know that You have to make a judgment from time to time as to what kind of support there is. And I know that there was overwhelming support for the legislation. Mm-hmm. So I think they probably chose not to, because the Republicans were determined to get this legislation passed quickly, not to slow the process down in such a way to require people to be there to vote at that hour. But you know, it's a judgment call that has to be made. And having been leader for 10 years, I know enough not to put myself in the shoes of a leader as he makes his decisions. That's a tough thing to do. And I think Senator Reid has done a phenomenally good job.
Harry Reid of Nevada, your right. successor. Let's get another caller on the line. This is Grady, and Grady's with us from Goldendale, Washington.
Hello.
Hi.
I was one of the early opponents of the rush to war with Iraq. I think there were 8% of the population who were against it, and I was extremely disappointed to see the Democrats roll over, as it were, and join the Republicans in this foolish war. I wonder why Senator Daschle feels, if he does, that the Democratic Party has moved to the right, to the center, to the right, and become indistinguishable from Republicans.
Well, I guess I would differ with that characterization. I think that there are many, many cases. I was criticized harshly for my comments about the war just immediately prior to the time the president decided to go in. And those comments, of course, came back throughout the campaign and the last election. So I think that Democrats all the way along have been very critical. They've asked a lot of tough questions. We were told that there were weapons of mass destruction, of course, and shown what we were told were convincing photographic evidence of those weapons. And of course, all of that now we know is wrong.
Did you think you were lied to?
I felt so. I felt that we were all misled, but I didn't fall for the misleading.
Grady, I was asking Senator Daschle, actually, but we appreciate your comment. Yeah. Go ahead, Senator.
Well, I think the jury's still out about whether we were told the truth, advertently or inadvertently, but I personally can't believe that a president of the United States or any high government official would lie at that level. I have to believe they believed, as we did, that information was accurate, and they relied on the intelligence community to provide them with the best information they could. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, but I do think that history will always question how these judgments and this information was provided, and how could we have been so wrong? Mm-hmm. I having said that, however, I still think that democratization is a worthy goal, and we've paid a heavy price. We've done it alone. Many of us have very serious reservations about the way with which this whole matter has been handled. I don't think we've supported the troops adequately. I don't think we've involved the international community adequately. We certainly haven't set up the infrastructure politically, economically, or physically. And I think for all those reasons, there's a lot of room for criticism here yet.
We're speaking with former Senator Tom Daschle, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. In several addresses since the election, President Bush and some of the other Republicans have made it clear that they viewed the November election as a vindication of their policy in Iraq. If that election was fought on one central issue, it was the war in Iraq, the economy. Other issues were very important, but that was the most important issue. Do you accept that?
I don't, Neil. I don't think that any one issue dominated this election. I think that there were a lot of questions. I think that people made their judgments based on, in some cases, the emotional issues of abortion or gay rights, gay marriage, guns, the economy, health care. There were a lot of different factors. I think it's too simplistic to say that any one issue was the major factor in determining the outcome of the presidential election.
Get another caller in. This is Bede from Black Hill, South Dakota.
Hello, Senator Daschle.
Hello, Bede.
I am actually in Sturgis, South Dakota right now, so you'd know exactly where that is.
Oh, I sure do. Very, very
okay.
Fond of Sturgis.
My question for you is, do you see yourself as being able to play a kind of role in the future of maybe with regard to the Native American population with fetal alcohol syndrome, dispersing information, maybe some public awareness that way?
Well, that's such an important issue. Fetal alcohol syndrome is the greatest cause of mental retardation among children in the country today, and so much of it happens on the reservations. We've put a lot of effort into finding ways to advance the science as well as the medical care provided to children with FAS, and that is one area that I'd like to spend a lot more time and energy on. I don't think there's any question that if we could help Native American children in health and in education, there's an unlimited possibility for the outcomes that could result. So this is an area we're going to be spending some additional time on, and I'm glad to hear you're interested.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thanks, B. Senator Daschle, you were in the Senate when the Republicans shut down the government back in the Newt Gingrich days, and that didn't turn out to be a very good ploy, as it turned out. Now Senate Democrats are threatening to stop all action in the United States Senate. As we mentioned, a lot of things happen by consent, and if you don't provide consent, things slow down considerably. Over this issue of judges' nominations, Republicans are threatening to use a parliamentary procedure to get this down to a simple majority vote. 51 votes would get a judge through, as opposed to and get rid of the filibuster for federal judicial appointments. Is this a wise tactic to use? If you say this, it's not. They may call your bluff.
Well, I think Senator Reid has indicated that he will selectively use the objection to unanimous consent agreements that any senator has the right to use. I don't know that his intention is to shut down the government in the same fashion that the Republicans did in the mid-1990s, Neil. That, of course, closed government offices, mm-hmm. and Senator Reid has already indicated that all vital services will continue and that they will not resort to that draconian a measure as the Republicans chose to use in the mid-90s. But I think something has to be done. For the Republicans to change the institutional character of the United States Senate so dramatically, without any recourse, without any resulting penalty, is just something that I think is very unfortunate. I don't know that they've come to any conclusion yet as to what requirements or what kind of approach that there may be, but without a doubt, this is something that we're going to have to watch very carefully.
Tom Daschle, thanks very much for being with us today, and good luck in the new job.
Thank you very much for having me.
Former South Dakota Senator and Senate Democratic Leader Tom Daschle joined us in Studio 3A. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.